Hey everyone, I hope you're doing well. This is Pastor Chris here, and I just wanted to share a little bit about some of the conversations we've had in our Friday night prayer meetings. They have been such a blessing, and I hope that if you have a chance, you're able to come join us on a Friday night. We meet at Abide at 6 p.m., and our focus is to return to worship, return to a heart of prayer. We're calling it the altar because some time ago, the Lord told me to rebuild the altars, to purify the altars. And please understand, it's not to make things like super mystical and weird. It's really a preparation that starts in our heart, a restoration that starts in our heart first, as we are the temple of the living God, and therefore our hearts are the altars, the place where he comes and meets and set his presence on. And so we're really focusing there first. And then as we gather corporately, the desire is to do it together and to go deeper together. And so the prayers that we pray and the songs that we sing are very spirit-led. And it's not saying that, what was done before in a more traditional setting is not. It's just what we feel like the Lord is doing now. And so, once again, that is the altar gathering on Friday nights at 6 p.m. every week. And something we started to do recently is every other week or so, we'll have a teaching from a leader that is, out there and current. Some people know them, some people don't, but trusted leaders, trusted voices that speak into things that I just kind of feel like the Lord lead. And so we've been speaking about prophets and prophecy. We've been speaking about dreams and words of knowledge, discernment, discerning of spirits. And then most recently we had a teaching on the fivefold, the five streams, the fivefold ministry found in Ephesians 4. And so there is still teaching, so for those that are like, I don't know if only doing worship or only doing prayer is for me. Well, just know that there is teaching as well. Our goal as a hub is to equip and to send everyone out into the marketplaces, into spheres of influence to impact them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you may be someone that's like, I have a home church. I've got a pastor and I love it there. Awesome. We're not asking you to abandon your church or pastor. We're reminding you that we are part of the kingdom of Jesus, meaning it doesn't matter where you go to church on a Sunday. If you want to come for a prayer meeting and a worship session to give God glory and to intercede on behalf of this nation and this world, please come. We want to do everything we can to resource you and equip you to go and impact your church and your spheres of influence. And so that's a little nugget on what the altar is all about. And so tell somebody, invite somebody. And if you struggle to pray more than 5 minutes, it might be something that you can come join and enjoy this time. Enjoy the time being vulnerable in his presence, but also having a safe space to where no one's judging you. We're all on our faces weeping before the Lord as well. So no one is going around looking to see who's doing what. And so I hope that is encouraging. Well, I wanted to hop on here tonight, not just to give that information, but also to share what was on our hearts tonight. For those that don't come, we don't record it. And so it does not mean that the word that goes forth, the prayers that go forth, aren't important. And so while I'm not going to go through everything we talked about this evening, I did want to share some of the scriptures that came up as we were worshiping the Lord and were praying. And so I told everybody as we pulled into the church parking lot, I felt a strong impression to pray. And as we were kind of preparing, he gave me a picture and then a phrase, reminding me of like an open vision that Christy, my wife, had said that she shared with us. And in that open vision, she saw large angels in our region around our church, and they had obviously large swords. And as they extended those swords, they all met to a point, and that point was over the church. And as she was kind of sharing it to us, she was kind of talking, and this was, you know, some time ago, so it wasn't like it happened today. It was some time back. And she mentioned that, you know, as we've been praying and as we've been kind of going into a direction, she felt like a strong urging and has felt a strong urging that, you know, they're there for a purpose. They're there to do something. And so she just kind of felt that protection, that, you know, that charge that they had to defend and guard and safeguard, you know, what God was doing here. And so that was all beautiful. And in that moment, as I was kind of remembering that, and she kind of recounted it to the family in the truck as we were getting ready to get out and start, you know, going about our process. But I heard the phrase from the Lord in my spirit, angels on assignment. And the thought that I know, I mean, there's probably people on here that are watching this that maybe the moment I said that, like, you're like, all right, where are we going to go? We're going to start talking about angels. Like, what I believe is this, what you believe is that, maybe what you've heard. And I don't know that I want to get into a weird space. I just want to give you some scripture that we started off with this evening, and to challenge you to take it before the Lord, just as I have done, just as we did tonight. And so one of the scriptures that was immediately brought to my attention, and it's found in two places. And so I'm going to go to both of them for you, just so you can see the language used in both areas, because we get it in the Old Testament first, and then we get it in the New Testament where it's expounded upon a little bit. And this was kind of the theme that my mind was drawn to as I heard that phrase, angels on assignment. And so the first scripture is found in Psalm chapter 104, verse 4. The psalmist is speaking about God, and in verse 2 and 3, he says, he wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot, and he rides on the wings of the wind. And so we're talking about God's majesty and his glory and his splendor and how great and mighty he is. And then it continues, he makes wind, like the wind, his messengers, flames of fire, his servants. And I'm going to read the next verse just because there's a part in Hebrews that talks about this. But he said, he set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. And so we see the psalmist say here, he makes winds his messengers. And my little note right next to the word messengers says angels. He makes winds his angels, flames of fire his servants. Now, when, or if you were originally reading this and you didn't speak the Hebrew and you didn't have, you know, helpful study Bibles and all this, you're going to say he makes the wind his messenger. Okay, you know, what's that talking about? Well, if we look at Hebrews, and this is the scripture that kind of popped into my mind as he said that. In Hebrews chapter 1, the section in my Bible is titled The Son, who is speaking of Jesus Christ, superior to angels. And the writer of Hebrews is talking about how great and how highly exalted Jesus is above everything, even the angels. He speaks in a number of times here where, like, for instance, verse 5, for to which of the angels did God ever say, God the Father, ever say, you are my son, and today I have become your father. And again, in verse 6, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he said, let all God's angels worship him. So he's talking about the majesty and the splendor and the height that Jesus Christ has above all the angels. It continues in verse 7, and this is the one that stuck out to me, was in speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, W-I-N-D-S, his servants flames of fire. And I was thinking about that, and as I was continuing to read on, he continues that same scripture in verse 10, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth. So we're seeing you know, Jesus, we're seeing him exalted. We're seeing the angels having assignments. They're messengers. They're servants. They're like flames of fire, but they're doing the work of God at his bidding, right? We're seeing that language, that kind of connection here. And it continues to go through all of it. And then we get to verses 13 and 14. He says, to which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not all angels ministering spirits? And this is the focus. So if you write anything down, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 is the focus. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And as I shared with those with us tonight, he says all angels, so not making any, you know, difference between classes or anything like that. You hear people get weird about this, y'all. Like, angelology, like the study of angels, all of that is not meant to be weird. There's people and there's teachings out there that make this really cuckoo-cachoo, and that is not what we're talking about tonight. So I'm just going to stay with the scriptures. Going to try to remove my opinion out of much of this, because I do not want to steer you one way or another. I just want to give you what I felt like the Lord said to us this evening in our focus, as well as the scripture to back it up. And so verse 14 says, all angels are ministering spirits sent to serve, keyword, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. That is you. That is me. When we profess the name of Jesus Christ, when we align with him and we abide with him as joint heirs, co-heirs with Christ, the authority that rests on him flows to us, and we are able, when we're walking in alignment with Jesus's will and purpose, we're able to command these angels in service. That's what we're seeing here. Now, some of you are going to be like, listen, you had me until you said we could command them. I do not believe that, Chris. You're crazy. Hey, that's fine. That may be where you're at. I was there too. This is just what I'm seeing today. And so once again, we're not making this weird, but they are there to serve us. And the way I described it was the way that I felt like the Lord described it to me, is he commands his angels. In Psalm 91, he reminds us that he commands his angels for our good, for our protection, for our safety, like he sends them. And we've heard stories, and once again, like I said, this can be strange, but I have heard a number of stories, but most of the stories that I've heard of recent have been where a person in our congregation or congregations that I've been to, they will say that they see something that it looks like an angel or looks like a good spirit that is there with a purpose. Now, wisdom and you know, walking with the Holy Spirit tells me that what we should be doing in that moment is not marveling that we can see angels. It's not marveling or being fearful that they're there and they're present, right? That may be a warm nudge from the Father and just him confirming things. So I'm not saying it's bad, but if we take it to where it glorifies ourselves or lifts up ourselves, I think we're missing it. I think our focus in that moment, if we're getting a glimpse into the spiritual realm and we see angels there, we must remember that statement, angels on assignment. And so the question that should pop up in our spirit is, what are you here for? And if you have to vocalize that and point it in that direction, say, what are you here for? And so to continue on, what I shared with those tonight was God sends, he commands the angels concerning us, and we get a choice, especially if we get this glimpse, to partner with the will of God in this and say, do what you've been sent here to do. Do what you've been sent here to do. Like, we're not going to stand in your way. We give complete permission. And so, you know, there's a number of people that will talk often about how the Holy Spirit is so gentle and how he won't do anything against our will. Well, I would imagine his servants are going to operate very similarly, that if you're going to stand in their way and be an obstruction, that thing that they're there to do, that they're there to partner with those who have inherited salvation, will not be done if you choose to be a wall. But if you choose to be a door or a window, whatever analogy you like best, and you stand open And you say, I have discerned, I have picked up in my spirit by the Holy Spirit that you are here on behalf of the Lord's command, and I choose to partner with the Lord in this moment. And so our wordage gets less about, am I commanding an angel to do something, or am I partnering with the will of God in this moment, and am I allowing them to be that vessel in which they bring the blessing, the favor, the joy, the hope, the peace of the Lord into my situation. Now, let me also say this. Does that mean an angel has to show up every time for you to receive something good from the hand of God? Absolutely not. Remember, I said, we are temples of the living God. His Holy Spirit dwells in us. And so at any time, we can have a Holy Ghost party right then and there. But there are times that he does send out his angels, and they have a purpose and they have a mission. And I'm just saying that it would be wise for us to partner with them. A scripture that I am thinking of, I'm going to look it up real quick. I did not have this planned, but it makes me think of both a song and a scripture. And this might date me. And so hopefully no one is going to give me any grief for the age of this song, but it is also found in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, but this one is in Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to turn here real quick. I know I have it digitally, but I just like reading it from the paper. And so we're going to go to Hebrews 13:2, but he reminded me of the song by the Newsboys, Entertaining Angels. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. And that brings obviously the picture of the various patriarchs in the Bible that were approached by either the angel of the Lord or angels, and they were in human form, and it took them a minute to discern, you know, who they were, you know, their mission, their task, etc. But they were there. In partnership, they were there to do something, and the man of God or the person in that scenario had to choose to partner or not partner with it. A good example of this is if you remember when the angels went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Before they went there, they met with Abraham and were, you know, they were kind of talking to him and planning this out. And Abraham was in dialogue with the Lord about would he destroy this city if there were a certain number of righteous people there. Well, when the angels then went into the city and found Lot, they commanded him to leave, like to go. And they even said to his wife, you have to go and do not turn back. And what did Lot's wife do? Forever known for this thing, she turned back. And what did she become? A pillar of salt, a column, or a tall, you know, I don't know if it was tall. It might have been a short pillar. Who knows? What was she? 4 foot? You know, don't mean to make it silly, but like she turned into something that's wildly crazy, but it was made of salt, right? And because she did not choose to partner with the plan of God in that moment, the plan was to evacuate and to not turn back. And she did not do it. And so I was thinking about that, but I was thinking about entertaining angels in the sense that I have heard so many people talk about encounters to where they saw another person with different people at a distance or friends of theirs at a distance. And when asked, hey, who was that? The person was like, who? What? You know, like no one was with me. I was alone, right? And so you have many times to where you could be entertaining the presence of an angel, they're on assignment, they're for a purpose, and you don't even know it. And so are we walking in alignment with the Holy Spirit? Are we walking in alignment with the will and plan of God? And when we do not be surprised when he sends angels our way to assist us. Now, I say all that, and that was a little bit extra, but I wanted to give a few, I guess, just words of caution. One is in Colossians chapter 2:18. Colossians 2:18. And this one I will read here just because it's right here. So often what people will do is, and especially as it pertains to the things of the Spirit, because we are not experts and we all want to be an expert. We all try to be an expert. And what you've seen, or what I've seen at least, let me just speak for myself, in the church world, we tend to grasp onto things and we take them a little bit too far to the left or to the right. And sometimes they get caught up in the weirdness. And I feel like, as Paul wrote here, that there was some of this going on. And so, you know, discern for yourself. But he's speaking about a number of things here in Colossians chapter 2. Let me back up a little bit. I was going to read verse 18 only. But the section in the New King James is not legalism, but Christ. And he says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you are raised with him through the faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So this is all of us. We all have been in this state, and this is the state we are in if we are made alive in Christ. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So remember, he's speaking about legalism. He's speaking about following rules blindly, not because they're redemptive, which was their purpose, to point us to the Savior. But people were saying the rules are more important, or we need Jesus and something. And so he's kind of disarming a lot of this. And so verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And then, sorry, I got a little study Bible, little notes here. Verse 16, so let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. And so people were focused on, don't eat this, don't do this, don't do that. And we weren't, even Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. People were saying, still saying in this moment or in these things, yeah, but, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I also need to do this. Yeah, I believe in this, but I need to do this. Like, they were still getting it twisted and out of line. And so the apostle is clearing things up. He said they were a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Now listen to this part. This is verse 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. And so that first part, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels. Y'all, listen, I have met so many people that start studying, you know, commanding angels or doing this or that, or the other, regarding or pertaining to angels. And then, you know, it's almost like they're like obsessed with it, right? All they can talk about or all they can think about is, well, which kind of angel was it? What rank were they in? What did they look like? What did they sound like? Were they holding the sword? Were they not holding the sword? Like, they get really, really kind of creepy with it. And you know, Paul, he kind of talks about it as like they're worshiping angels, like they're obsessed with it. And has that thing become an idol or an infatuation that takes the place of Christ in your life? Are angels more important to you than Jesus himself, right? And so, as I was saying before, we can take things too far when all we have said, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, is they're sent to serve those who inherit salvation. They are on assignment from God the Father, and all we have to do is partner with it and basically don't be a roadblock, right? That was the gist of the message. A few scriptures that I gave you just to recap here was Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 7, Psalm chapter 104 in verse 4, and then most recently Hebrews chapter 1, 14, Hebrews chapter 13 and 2, that's the entertaining angels, And then this last one here, Colossians 2 and 18, even though we read up a little bit further. The last couple of things I would say that I thought are interesting things, and me and my sons have been kind of talking about this. I'm going to turn to one of them real quick. Because as we talk about this, there's statements made in Scripture that cause you to ask the question, what was this? Lord, tell us what this was. Show us what this was. You know, it's definitely, I don't think any of these things are something you need to build like a hard line or doctrine on or change things. It's just, I feel like these are the sprinkles. You know, we all get the good cake, but every now and then God adds a flourish or two to kind of, I don't want to say liven it up because it's the Scripture. It's already alive. I hope you know what I mean, but it just makes it cool. And it's like, God, I saw you. That's so awesome that you did that. And best storyteller, best writer of all. And so I love that. And I think that's really, really neat. So in the book of Acts, my sons and I were talking about this because the question was brought up about angels and how many angels are there? Are there more angels than people? Does everybody, you know, get assigned an angel? And I'm going to give you a few scriptures on this. So we're kind of asking a bunch of questions. Okay. So it's, what about the angels? Can we command them? What do they do? What's their purpose? Now we're going to start talking about a couple of things. One is it's found in the book of Acts, chapter 12, King Herod, threw a bunch of Christians, into jail. In verse 2, it says he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. And then when he saw that it pleased everybody, he took Peter and threw him in jail. It said that he was guarded by four squads of four soldiers each, and he was going to bring him out after the Passover. So Peter was in prison, but the church, everyone was praying earnestly to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, this is chapter 12, verse 6, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. So these guys, like, come on, man, like this many dudes and all the chains and all this other stuff, like they knew. But suddenly in verse 7, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off of Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Verse 9, Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing. He had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. Verse 10, they passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself and they went through it. When he had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and the servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter's at the door. Listen to this. This is the key part. Verse 15, you're out of your mind, they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be his angel. And so the reason why I brought this up is a lot of people, or at the very least, people in this time, and it's kind of continued since, were of the assumption or of the impression that everyone had an angel. And I'm going to give you another scripture saying this, and Jesus actually said this. Everyone had an angel. And in this regard, their assumption was that the angel looked like the person that they were charged to. So if this didn't throw you off already and you're still with me, bear with me. But this scripture that I just read was Acts chapter 12. And that specific verse was verse 15. It must be his angel. All right, the second part that speaks about our angels is Matthew chapter 18. Now remember, please don't use this to build some kooky
doctrine or thing that just kind of goes out in left field. This is just nuggets related to angels that we talk about such a small portion tonight, but I wanted to give you some other things to study. So in the parable of the lost sheep in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says to them, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones." He's talking about the little kids. Previously in verse 5, he said, "Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." So do not push the children away, but welcome them. Anyone who welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. So he continues, verse 10, "See that you do not look down on these little ones. For I tell you," key verse right here, "for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." That's the other verse, Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. "The little children's angels, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." I was always told growing up and when I was younger to pray. "Hey, would you pray for us? Would you pray for us?" That there was some sort of, I don't know, just special anointing on my prayers as a young man, as a little boy, that the grownups always wanted us little ones to pray. Man, that may have just been their practice and their ways, but they assumed that because of this verse, that our prayers were more important than their prayers. Once again, you can take this really weird or not, but you know, I will say, and I tell my kids often, I know without a shadow of a doubt that our Father hears you. I will not make the assumption or make the claim that your prayer is more important than someone else's. I don't believe that. But I know for a fact the Father hears you, and it's his joy and delight to speak to you and answer you and comfort you. So I hope that blesses you. One other group of scriptures that I wanted to turn to real quick that speak of angels around us, and as I'm thinking about that, Psalm 34:7 speaks about the angel of the Lord, which many believe that to be Jesus pre-incarnate, encamps around the people that fear him. So that's a verse talking about the angel of the Lord. And then the last group of scriptures that I had written down is found in 2 Kings chapter 6. So that's 2 Kings chapter 6. And you're probably familiar with the story if you've been around a little bit, but it is when the armies, the king of Aram and his armies, they were looking for Elisha, and let's see, 6:16. Elisha tells them in verse 16 to "do not be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And he prayed in 17, "O Lord, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened Elisha's servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so the point there is that as we're walking in the plan and purposes of God, and we have these legions or these angels ready to do the work of God, and we're kind of like, I don't know, a vessel point A to point B, I guess, but we happen to be there. And sometimes we're totally unaware of the grand scale of what's going on. That one of my boys, they said, "You know, how many angels are there?" Well, many times we were looking at these words, the host of heaven, multitudes, legions, you know, we see all those words, and most people will get caught up on the fact that the demoniac said, you know, "There's legion, you know, in us because we are many." Well, that was just using a word that everyone knew of, claiming it to be, quote unquote, its name only because there are many. But that was the name of a Roman number of infantry there. It was a legion. It was right around, I think when we were researching, it was right around like 14,000. I think I'm wrong. I think that regard that we're talking about legions upon legions. But I think it was like 7,000. I could be wrong. Y'all, I'm sorry. But the point is, there was a lot of them, and we can't give to the devil
everything he lays claim to by saying a name when Legion was something that he did not originate. So the point is, don't allow the devil to rob something or to counterfeit something that originated in the heart of God or originated elsewhere, just by him saying that this is mine. And so, you know, once again, that kind of steers us away from the weirdness. So anyways, our point tonight, the point that we prayed into, was these angels, these ministering spirits, are sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. And tonight, specifically for you, I wanted to speak this over you so that you can come into partnership with it. But tonight, my son Isaiah, and then another, you know, person in our group, really spoke that God was releasing miracles. The lady was driving to an appointment, and she heard the Lord say, "Miracles, miracles are coming. Miracles are on the way." And guys, when you hear that, if something does not rise up within you, which I'm sure it probably is, there's a great sign that, you know, hey, your spirit is coming into alignment with what the Spirit of God is saying over this region and over this season. And so we just kind of partnered with. And my son, he was talking about how when he was gripped with fear one evening where it was really dark, it was late, he was having a hard time going to sleep, he played the song Million Little Miracles by Elevation. Whether you like them or not, it's beside the point. But the song really teaches us that God is always doing something for us. And there's so many good things that he does for us that honestly, it's hard to keep track. But does that mean we should stop trying to count? Does that mean we should stop giving him thanks for all the good things that he's doing? No. Count as many miracles as you can. And so we had this mini testimony time of the goodness of God. And so you may be listening, you may be watching. I don't know if you're a regular or if you don't know us at all, but God is releasing miracles. Will you choose to accept it? God has sent angels on your behalf to deposit miracles and signs and wonders in your sphere of influence, and you may very well be the vessel, and they're bringing it to you. You can choose to open your hand and receive that and partner with the Lord for his glory and your good, or you can be a wall. You can say, hey, I don't like any of this. I don't know about any of this. I don't know if I'm for that. And it might or might not happen. Maybe God will have to do it a different way. I don't know. But all I'm saying is study this out. I'll put the scriptures in the description, but I encourage you to study it out and ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord to show you what he says this all means for you and how you are to partner with it. I hope this blessed you. This is a small sample, I guess, of what it is that we try to do at the leading of the Lord on these Friday nights. I hope it was a blessing to you. If you would like to partner with us, you can go to our website. It's www.abideokc.com. We have giving links. We're going to start putting more of these teachings there so that you can be blessed. Please share it with somebody if it blessed you. And one of the things that I asked our team tonight is if this challenges you, type in your thoughts, type in your questions, type in maybe your arguments, like, hey, I don't see it this way, or I found this scripture and it seems to kind of contradict. Let's unpack that a little bit more. But let's actually open lines of dialogue and challenge each other's faith so that we grow together in the study of God's word and as believers and brothers and sisters in Christ. And so please leave some comments, let us know what you think. And then, like I said, if you would like to partner with us financially, we would love that so we can get more videos and more teaching out to you guys. We thank you and God bless you. Bye-bye.